This is Day to Day. I'm Mike Schuster. It has been a banner year for gay rights. In June, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a Texas ban on sodomy. Last month, the Episcopal Church installed its first openly gay bishop. But most states do not recognize gay marriages. Only a few offer some degree of recognition to unions between gays. Political analysts say the issue could feature prominently in next year's presidential race. But the controversy over gay marriage extends beyond the United States. Many European nations are also wrestling with it. From the Netherlands, the first country in the world to recognize gay marriage, Frank Browning reports.
Adrian has a funny story about the night he proposed to Sander. It was New Year's Eve, 2 years ago, and he was in a bar talking to a friend.
I said, well, you know, one of the things I would like to do is to get married to Sander. And he said, okay, well, when would you like to get married? I said, well, after the summer, probably September, somewhere in September. He said, okay, that means in July you will have to invite the people, and then that means in March you will have to have a location. That means, and then we went back and back, and he said, well, that means you probably have to propose to him tonight. And I was like, oh, that's totally cool, because it's New Year's Eve, and I'll propose to him.
And so Adrian went around the corner to a jewelry store and bought a ring. Just after midnight, 2001, as the fireworks are exploding in Amsterdam's New Market Square, he turned to Sander.
I took the ring out of the inner side of my pocket. It was really traditional. And he was like, oh, yes, I will. I have to call my mother. So it was totally hysterical.
All over Holland, Belgium, France, Germany, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, same-sex couples have similar stories. Only Holland and Belgium offer full marriage to gays and lesbians, but the domestic unions in the other countries are nearly the same. They provide tax benefits, housing security, and immigration rights, whereas most domestic partnership ordinances in America are restricted to medical and civil rights protections. Lee Badgett, an economist at the University of Massachusetts, says two key cultural differences mark the countries that offer same-sex unions from those that don't.
The countries that have civil unions tend to be much more tolerant with regard to homosexuality. People in those countries are much less likely to go to church on a regular basis.
And another thing, far more straight people live together without marriage in the pro-gay countries, all of which suggests a shifting attitude toward the idea of marriage itself. Result partially, Badgett says, of the fact that in Europe, pensions and health care are no longer tied to marriage.
So marriage doesn't come with quite as large a bag of goodies as it does in the U.S., I think. And people seem to think that they don't need it as much, either symbolically or materially. And that might mean that it makes legislators and voters more willing to say, yes, let's open this institution up to same-sex couples.
Boris Dietrich, leader of the centrist Social Liberal Party in the Dutch parliament, was the chief strategist for the first civil union law in 1995, and then for gay marriage in 2001.
People came used to the images of two men or two women going into the municipality building and getting married. So therefore, it became quite easy, actually, to start the discussions about a real, full-fledged legal marriage for gay people, because people realized that actually the world didn't change after the registered partnership, so they didn't feel afraid of something new like that.
But of course, some people were deeply offended and upset.
I don't like that Holland recognizes this connection, this marriage.
Father Antoine Baudard is a priest who has argued strongly against gay marriage.
Therefore, I'm always saying, please don't use the notion of marriage for this kind of connections.
That a Catholic priest would oppose same-sex marriage isn't so surprising, but Baudard isn't just a priest. He's also openly homosexual and lived with a man for several years before entering the priesthood. Marriage, he believes, derives from a divine mission to regenerate life, and therefore must only link men and women. But he does accept that human beings also make other kinds of unions.
I agree, and I'm glad also that other kind of connections can live together, because we can read in Genesis, it's not good for man to live alone. It's better to live together as to live alone. So if people like to live together in friendship, to make a home together, I would agree that the church perhaps ought to help them, because living in the church, it means that we try to love each other, that we take care of each other.
He says just don't call it marriage. And Father Bodard is not altogether alone. Many in the gay movement also opposed marriage, particularly women.
We hate marriage because it's a heterosexual thing. It keeps women on a certain point in the house, marriage.
Anna Maria Boersboom, however, got married because she and her partner's accountant told them it was the cheapest and safest way to buy their house, to be sure that a hospital would acknowledge their mutual medical authority, and that they could be secure in their inheritance decisions.
So we said, okay, we do it. And we had the choice to do it at 9 in the morning or 11 later. We said, what is the difference? Well, at 9 you don't have to pay anything. But because we were so against it, we said, well, we do the 9 o'clock.
The difference between Anna Maria's outlook and Adrian and Sanders also reflects the fact that gay men are much more likely to enter legal partnerships than lesbians are. Gert Hekma heads the Gay Studies Center at the University of Amsterdam.
Women have more reasons when they have children to organize the financial stuff. Yeah, gay men, they're much more interested in the symbolic side. And I guess it's a sign to their family and to their colleagues that they also are respectable, normal people.
All creatures, both great and small, are our brothers and sisters.
When Rob and Hans held their marriage celebration a little over a year ago, began as just a practical solution to managing their property.
All embracing love. It is love of the most serious sort, well tested, appreciated, and desired, that has brought Rob and Hans here today.
But Hans says they were completely unprepared for the emotional effect of the marriage.
The idea of promising each other to take care of one another in front of all your friends and some family, particularly because we celebrated our 20th anniversary on the day that we got married. But I was not at all ready for that. I had not anticipated that. It was very emotional, and it was tearful, and lots of people were crying. And there's something about the two of us as a couple that became more important than it was. Before, it was the two of us more individually, perhaps, dealing side by side, and now it's more we are standing back to back, and the rest of the world is around us.
For Day to Day, I'm Frank Browning.